Transform your life today. Welcome to Super Coach with Michael Neal.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be. Our topic for today is learning how to fish and the numbers to call to get coaching on having what you want in any area of your life. 866-254-1579. It's toll-free in the United States and Canada. 866-254-1579. From outside the U.S., you can reach the show by dialing your country code and then 760-918 4300. As always, we're going to set the table a little bit before we go to the calls. And what I wanted to talk about today, this idea of learning how to fish. You've all seen the bumper sticker, heard the story. You know, you can teach a man to fish for a day. You can if you give a man a fish. Obviously, since you've read the bumper sticker, I don't need to know it, which is just as well. Give a man a fish and he'll eat for a day. Teach him how to fish and he'll eat for the rest of his life. And so often, especially in a format like this, where there's somebody here on the other end of the radio dial that seems to be the expert, because you know we must be the expert because we're the ones with the microphones, right? And we've got some pretty good fish. Like if you listen to Hay House Radio, we serve up some great fish here. And you know you might like you know one host's fish a little more than another host's fish, but on the whole, you can get great fish pretty much any hour of any day right here at Hay House Radio. The only problem is sometimes the fish is so good that we forget that we're fishermen too. We forget that we have access to that same source of wisdom, to that same understanding that each of the hosts do. And we may not access it in the same way, and it may not sound the same way when it comes to us, and we may not choose to share it with other people in the way that the hosts do. But we have access to that same source. I was doing a talk in London, and there's one guy in the audience who kept asking, and it was really a sensible question in a sense, but he kept comparing what I was saying to what other people said. So he would talk about how, well, Deepak Chopra says, and Wayne Dyer says, so what do you say? And, well, Louise Hay says, and Collette Baron-Reed says, so what do you say? Well, Tony Robbins says, and this person says, and the problem with that is we get caught up in choosing a kind of fish, and we forget about the ocean. So we're like, well, tilapia and cod, so mackerel? And we just get caught up in this game of trying to get the right kind of fish or the fish that tastes best to us. And again, we forget that we can turn around in any moment. We can go inside and the whole ocean is right there waiting for us. Another way I sometimes talk about it, it's like arguing over who's got the sexiest finger when we're all pointing to the same source. So it's something to think about as we talk today, as you listen to the show today. You can listen for fish and you'll get them. There's going to be some great fish on the show. I feel some great fish coming on. And that'll be great. And if you call in 866-254-1579, toll free, or outside the United States, you can reach show 001-760-918-4300. You will get some great fish. And if you listen behind the words, if you listen for the feeling, there's also a chance that you might catch some fish of your own, and you might realize that you're actually a brilliant fisherman. So I've extended the metaphor as far as I feel comfortable. Let's go to the phones and let's begin with Dan in Philadelphia. Dan, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
Yes, hi, Michael. While I was reading Supercoach, I was wondering if you could explain a little bit more to me about, this may apply to the metaphor of the fish in the ocean, but Daddy's Ferrari and that knowing that in the sort of stages of going about things, that there's actually the owner of the garage and many cars to choose from. I feel like things are going very well. I just want to sort of recognize what's possible. And I want to know if you could explain that a little bit more for me.
Sure, and I'll back it up just because otherwise it's gonna sound, somebody's gonna listen to the show and go, well, what's the show about? Well, I think it's about fish and cars. I'm not sure.
So let me explain
the metaphor. In the book Supercoach, I talk about the three stages that most people go through in their learning. The most clients that I work with go through in the course of our work together. In the first stage, sometimes I call it learning a new way to drive. Sometimes I call it absence of, because there's an absence of stress and an absence of problems. But at some point, what we talk about here on this show, it's like an owner's manual for the human experience. Now, if you think about an owner's manual for a car, it doesn't tell you how to drive. It doesn't teach you how to drive. It doesn't tell you where you're supposed to drive. It doesn't give you the shortest cut to get to where you want to go. It just teaches you how the car works. And if you don't know how the car works, like if you don't know that when you step on this pedal, it goes faster, and when you step on this pedal, it slows down, if you don't know that when you turn this big round thing, you can go right or left, well, that could be a problem. So it's really important to understand how the car works. So that's the first thing. Learning a new way to drive is really learning, oh, you know, there's a way to do this without all the stress, without all the fear, without all the insecurity being the driver, without thinking that I've got to do something out there to get the good feelings I want in here. And that's that first step. And when people start to see that, it's a little odd at first. It's a little weird because, you know, we're so used to our stress that when we're without stress, it's like, ooh, it's too quiet. It's like if you lived in a city for a while and you go to the country, there's that moment when you first get out to the country where you're like, it's too quiet. This is where I can't sleep. I need to put on like some construction noise or something just to feel comfortable. So that's that first stage. Then what happens is when we hang out in that quiet for a while, when we start hanging out in that unknown, in that place where we're listening to a deeper wisdom, where we're not just caught up in the noise in our own heads anymore, life starts working out really well. We start having all sorts of synchronicities and all sorts of coincidences and all sorts of things start turning up that work really well for us. And one of my clients named this, it's like driving daddy's Ferrari. It's really exciting, but I'm terrified that I'm going to crash or I'm going to do something wrong and then I'm going to have to explain myself. And some people get so uncomfortable at this kind of effortless success where they can't make a direct cause-effect connection between what they're doing and the results that they're getting. That they go back to doing it the hard way. Because at least then it feels like they've got some control over it. And they'd rather have that illusion of control. They don't know it's an illusion, obviously, but they'd rather have that feeling of control than the reality of being completely free, but not being in control of what you're not in control of. And that's that driving daddy's Ferrari stage. I'm going to assume you're with me so far, Dan?
Absolutely.
Okay.
But basically, to sort of apply this to my life, I found that I've been opening up to more people in my community, and there's a gentleman who I have computer skills, so I'm helping him to find jobs online and fill out applications online. And there was another person, without getting too much into people's personal stories, I'm not giving names or anything, but I'm finding that there's more opportunity for me to help other people in my community, and it's sort of like I think that I've sort of gotten my own routine down, and I guess I'm being led to the fact that I am sending out that vibration that I want to feel confident in myself so that I can help build confidence in other people in my community during this time.
So let me talk a little about that third stage, and that might point the direction towards how you get there.
Okay.
At some point, as all these neat things are happening and you're trying to figure it out, if you look back in the direction of how does this human experience that we're all having work? Like, how does this game work? You start to see more. And here's some of the things that people see. One of the things that people start to see really clearly is that while it looks like we're experiencing the world, we're experiencing our thinking. So we really start to notice that our experience moment to moment is a direct correlation to the thoughts that we have in our mind in those moments. And so if I'm thinking a lot of sad thoughts and they seem real to me, I'm going to feel real sad. If I'm thinking a lot of confident thoughts and they seem real to me, I'm going to feel confident. If I'm thinking lots of beautiful thoughts, I'm going to feel beautiful. And it's just a direct one-to-one. Think and feel. It's all one thing. It's a thought feeling. It's a thought experience. And it's happening all the time. When I start to see that, then I start to understand that it doesn't so much matter what's happening on the outside to my experience. It's just what's happening on the outside, and my experience is my experience. Second thing people start to notice is they start to notice that at different times, the exact same event can appear completely different to them. So when they're at a sort of a low level of consciousness, something happens in life, something doesn't go their way, something doesn't go the way they think it should, the way they want it to go, and they get angry at the world, and they get angry at the thing, and they sometimes will get angry at themselves, and they go, oh, it's me, I've blown my energy, I must be thinking the wrong things, I've got to fix myself. Well, that exact same thing could happen at a slightly higher level of consciousness. They would see, wow, that's not what I wanted, but there's a beauty in that. There's something good that I can take from that. At a higher level of consciousness, I could see that exact same thing, and I could go, wow, you know what? I just realized I don't actually control what happens, and that's fine. That's actually a relief. Wow, I can give that mantle back. I don't have to pretend that I control what I don't control. At a higher level of consciousness, I might look at it and just genuinely see the cosmic joke of trying to make things happen a certain way instead of letting the target be wherever the arrow lands. Now, we all go in and out of those levels of consciousness throughout the day, but we make leaps. There are certain times where we just start playing the game at a higher level, and we still have our ups and downs, but they're at a higher level. Have you had that experience, Dan, where you know, something that in the past you know would have been a big deal to you, you can look at now and just go, oh, that's sweet. That's charming. That's a shame.
Yeah, definitely, especially with different ways of thinking about things. I would like to think that I understand everything you said, but it's just sort of like, I know you've had a lot more experience in this, and I'm hoping to understand this more, or just let go and let God or let Source or whatever. And
one of the things that can help, Dan, and this is back to our learning how to fish theme for today, is to just don't try too hard to understand it.
Okay.
Because I'm pointing at something. Okay. This isn't. Okay. What I'm saying isn't gospel truth. It isn't literally the way it works. It's the way that I understand it from the way that it looks to me.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you look in the direction that I'm pointing, you may see it a little bit differently to me, but you'll see what I see, which is that somehow we're either connected to the flow or we're up in our heads. That somehow, when we're really up in our heads and the world looks a certain way and we're really struggling, that all it takes is one new thought, one insight, one glimpse, and I'm going to have a whole different experience. And if I know that, then I don't have to worry so much if I'm having a bad time in the moment. Because okay. I know I'm one thought away from a completely different understanding and a completely different experience.
Right. Okay. Thank you very much. You've helped a lot, and I feel like my batteries are energized and recharged, and I feel that, you know, it's just sort of like we're talking about fishing in ponds. You know, you throw that stone in a pond and the ripples spread. I think that just helping with me, I hope that I can pass that on to other people, and that good feeling that I have going on now. I just want you to know that I'll even mention that you're a good person that I find is helpful in my life to other people, and I just appreciate it. Thank you so much, Michael.
Thank you, Dan.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye. And you know what's great about that is here's how I would describe what just happened to Dan. While we were talking, his mind got a little quieter, got a little more reflective, and he connected at a deeper level to his true self, to that source that we're talking about, to that bigger thing that we're all a part of, whatever that is, whatever we conceive that to be. And in doing that, that's like reconnecting to your own wisdom. That's like tapping into the ocean. That's like the finger that's pointing to the moon. And of course, when we're in that state, when we connect to that place in us, that namaste place, you know, the definition of namaste that I love, that I heard from my friend Bill Cumming, and he heard from a woman named Marge Canute. The story is in the book Feel Happy Now. But I'll tell it here, because I haven't told it for a while on air, and I love the story that she was a nurse, and she'd come over from Maine, I believe, to India to work at the Mother Teresa home for the homeless and the dying. And she got there, and she'd been traveling for 20 hours, and she was hot, and she was sweaty, and she was tired. She wanted nothing more than to just have a cold shower and collapse into bed. But when she got there, there were just people everywhere lined up in all sorts of a state to just have a place where they could die with dignity. And she immediately just was so moved by it that she just jumped into service. She stepped right in, and she started to work with the first person she saw. And the first person she saw, his he'd been left to die in the street, because that's what happened there. And he'd been run over in the street, and his leg was broken, and a bone was sticking out. And she didn't know what to do, but she just held him. And she just loved him. And he looked up at her, and he looked into her eyes, and she, just such a sense of gratitude and love. And he just kept saying this word over and over again, namaste, namaste, namaste. And she'd never heard the word before. She didn't know what it means. And she kind of forgot about it, because there were so many more people over the course of the day that she dealt with. And when she finally did remember, she got some rest and remembered. She asked somebody, what does it mean? What they told her is this: I honor the place in you in which the entire universe resides. I honor the place in you of love, of light, of truth, and of peace. And when you are in that place in you, and I am in that place in me, there's only one of us. And that's an opportunity that's here, not just today, but it's an opportunity that's always present, because that place in us is always present. And we may get caught up in our thinking about this and our thinking about that. And well, yeah, I'll go to the namaste place when I've made enough money. I'll spend more time. Yeah, I'm going to spend 30 minutes a day in the namaste place meditating. And then that will be a welcome break from the rest of my life where I just want to compete with everybody. It's there 24/7. It's ever present. It's always available. And getting there is as simple as not running away from it. So we're going to take more of your calls a bit later in the show. If you want to get in, the numbers to call, 866-254-1579, toll-free in the United States and Canada, 866-254-1579. Or from outside the United States, you can reach the show by dialing your country code and then 760-918-4300. One of the things that I find sort of phenomenal is that there is this tendency, I don't know if it's built into us, I don't know if it's programmed into us, but in nearly everybody I meet, myself included, this tendency to try to copy the outside when we see something beautiful. So we see somebody who's amazing at selling, let's say, and we want to sell the way they sell. So we learn their techniques and we copy. Oh, I see what they do is they match and mirror to build rapport. So I'm going to match and mirror to build rapport. And I see that they ask open questions. So I'm going to ask open questions. And oh, I see that they reach out and they touched that person on the arm. So I'm going to reach out and touch people on the arm when I talk with them. And we copy the form and we wonder why it only sort of works. Because let's face it, it sort of works. If you've ever learned a system and applied the system, you know the system sort of works. But it doesn't get you to that thing that you really admired about what it is that you really admired in the first place. It doesn't make you feel like that person looked. It just gets you a little bit of the result that they had. And the reason is that for them, if they're a natural at what they do, their behavior is coming from their understanding of human beings, from their understanding of life, from their understanding of the human experience. And so consequently, they might not do those same things with the next person because they might see something different based on that same understanding. So again, the difference between taking the fish, oh, I'm going to copy that, I'm going to copy that. Oh, I like the way that, oh, he uses humor, I'm going to use humor. I like the way that this person does. Oh, I look, she is really, really slow. I'm going to get really, really slow too, so I can be like her. Well, the reason that she's really, really slow is probably because for her, that's just the speed her mind's going. And she's so feeling a connection to something beyond her that it's just really hard to go any faster than that. So when we slow down, we're copying the outside, but her slowness is coming from the inside out. When that sales guy reached over and touched the prospect on the arm, that was because in that moment, he felt a genuine compassion for what the customer was going through. But if you just copy the touch, well, it's just going to feel kind of inappropriate. It's like, that was weird. Why is this guy touching me? Please get out of my personal space. And I think most people have at least one sales experience that goes a little bit like that. So think about something where you really admire the form. Like, oh, I love the way this woman teaches, or I love the way this guy does business, or I love the way that this person parents. And instead of looking for, hey, what can I copy from this? Like, what is it that they're doing? Because I want to do that. I want their strategy. Look to what is it that they see that causes those behaviors that they step into to be the natural behaviors. What is it that they understand about human beings that makes parenting the way they parent natural? They don't have to think about it. They just naturally know to do that. Because if you can get a glimpse of that, if you can get a glimpse of that deeper understanding, if you can start to get your own insights into whatever it is that you want to be really, 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 really wonderful at, then that wonder will start coming out in everything that you do. Because somebody told me this weekend. George Prensky was teaching on my academy, Supercoach Academy, and he was talking about how whatever somebody's current level of understanding is comes out in everything that they do. It doesn't matter if you try not to try to act beyond your understanding. Your level of understanding is going to come out in everything that you say and everything that you do. Your lips are going to move, and your current level of understanding is what's going to come out of your mouth. And knowing that, in a funny way, it takes the pressure off. Because as long as we don't try to speak beyond our understanding, as long as we don't try to make claims that we know what we don't know, and that we've got handled what we don't have handled, and we control what we don't control, because each one of those things, those are going to create a sense of pressure. Those are going to create this internal discomfort that's then going to kind of contaminate everything that we do from that point on. But if we're willing to stay within our pay grade and only talk from what we know, from what we really know, not from what we, you know, just suspect, Not from what we've heard, not from what somebody else's great fish was, but from what we actually see, we'll start to see more. And to be able to live in that way, to be able to live without that constant pressure and that constant fear that you're going to be found out, that. Boy, I hope nobody probes too deep. I hope nobody asks me a question about this. That is one of the real gifts of simply speaking from your current level of understanding. If you want to get in the second half of the show, the numbers to call, 866-254-1579, toll free in the United States and Canada. From outside the U.S., you can reach the show on 760-918-4300. And We're going to be right back with more thoughts and more of your calls right after this. Bye-bye for now.
Real strategies for real change. This is Supercoach with Michael Neal.
We are back. We're talking about learning how to fish. And if you like the kinds of things we talk about on the show, you can always find out more at our new website at www.supercoach.com. And you can also follow me on Twitter now at Michael_Neal. Let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Jennifer in Tacoma. Jennifer, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
Hi. Well, I guess I just have a very basic question about cultivating personal power.
Okay. Well, so tell me what personal power is. Like, I could make something up. But what do you mean?
Like, when you feel confident in what you want and you're not afraid to let other people influence you. Because I've had a lot of that over my life, and I'm trying to cultivate more of my personal power, and I'm hoping that you can kind of give me some tips on doing that.
Gosh, I hope so, too. It sounds important.
It is.
Well, so how will life be different when you have more personal power? Say you get the amount of personal power that you want. How will your life be different than it is now?
I feel like I would go forth more confidently and not let things hold me back, you know, outside influences, just to be more centered in who I am and what I want. Does that make sense?
It does. But let me ask the next question. So if you're going forth confidently and you're more centered in yourself, what are you going forth than doing that you aren't doing right now?
There's a move that I want to make, and it's going to affect a lot of people. And so I'm kind of trying to, for a while, I felt very assured about it, but then I kind of, something else came up and it.
Wait a minute. This is Carmelo Anthony, isn't it? You're Carmelo Anthony, and you're wondering whether you should go to the New York Knicks or the New Jersey Nets. I knew I recognized your voice.
Yes, I disguised my voice very well.
So there's something you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And right now you don't feel like you can do it.
Yeah, it's really big, and it would affect my entire existence, and especially the people that are close to me.
Okay, so on behalf of the millions of people listening, what is it? We're never going to meet you, Jennifer.
It's a move across the country,
okay.
And with my son, and my mother is really upset about it because we've always lived with her since she was born.
Do you know, when we moved, when I dragged my wife kicking and screaming from London over to LA, her mother actually put a curse on us. That was cool.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah. It didn't work. Fortunately, she was crap at it, but So you want to move across the country and right now you don't feel like you can do that. Is that a summation?
For a while, I felt very powerful in it, and then some other things happened that kind of gave me a little bit of doubt, but it's still there, and to think about not doing it makes me sad. So I still want to do it. I just want to get that power back.
Okay, so I want to make a distinction here, and let's see if it's a useful one, because it sounds to me like there's two different things that we're talking about, and you've got them connected in a way that I don't see them as being connected. So one is, it's really nice to feel centered and confident in oneself and to have a sense that no matter what happens, you're going to be okay and you're going to be able to do the best that there is to be done in that situation.
Right.
Then there's this other thing, which is you'd like to move across the country.
Yes.
Now, I know that what it actually takes to move across the country is a plane ticket and an apartment.
Right.
So I know that you don't need any of that centeredness or that confidence or that thing you're calling personal power. That is not actually relevant to moving across the country. Now, I'm not saying it's not relevant, and I'm not saying it's not worth having, but I want to separate the two things out and see if we can get that far. Can you see that those are two different things?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I can.
All right, beautiful. So let's talk about how we do each one, okay?
Okay.
So here's what I know about moving across the country. It's called Expedia.com.
Yes.
and ApartmentFinder.com.
And Monster.com.
And Monster.com, absolutely. Right, and those are things, okay, they may take longer than you want, especially the Monster.com one, but those are all just things that you can do.
Right.
And 99 times out of 100, the reason they don't work is because somebody doesn't do them.
Right.
So let's just agree, because I think we can agree, that moving across the country is not really a problem. When you're ready to do that, you'll do that. You know how to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So that's good. So we've knocked off half the problem. Right. Now let's see if we can actually talk a little bit more in a useful way about this thing that you're calling personal power. And the reason that I'm being so kind of funny about it, not necessarily in a good or funny way, but you know what I mean, is that I'm not sure that what you really want is what most people at least mean by personal power. See, I think personal power is the label we put on it when we see somebody who seems really confident in themselves and able to sort of stay centered as in the face of opposition.
Mm-hmm.
Now, see, for me, what that actually is somebody who understands, who has some perspective on thought. That's just the natural side effect of understanding that we don't experience life, we experience our thinking.
Mm-hmm.
So let me give you an example. So imagine, I use this metaphor sometimes. I like this metaphor. You got time. You're not going anywhere, Jennifer. You got a few minutes?
Oh, yeah.
All right, let's go for this. Because I think this is really cool. So imagine that we're in a glass elevator, and we're looking out at the world. And depending on where we are, like which level we're at, the world's going to look different to us.
Mm-hmm.
And so this particular elevator that we're in is what I call the elevator of understanding. And here's the rule of thumb for this elevator. The less situations in which you recognize that thought is the creator of your experience, the more frightening life's going to look, and the more you're going to want things like personal power. The more situations in which you recognize thought is the creator of your experience, the less frightening life appears, and the less things like personal power are going to even seem relevant. Or to put it more simply, the less a thought looks like a thought, the more we're inclined to accept it as reality and try and deal with it. So does that make sense just in general right now? I'll get into some detail here.
Okay.
Yeah? So,
yeah.
Okay. So on the ground floor, it's like, it's life is scary. You know, it's lions and tigers and bears. Oh my, because if you can't see any difference between your thoughts and reality, you probably wouldn't be calling into the show. You'd probably be living on the street. You'd be in a mental institution because you can't function if you couldn't make any discernment between your thoughts and what's going on out there.
Right.
Right? Now, So when we go up that elevator a little bit, when we go to a slightly higher level of understanding or consciousness, you know, I sometimes call this level, you know, don't look at me in that tone of voice.
Mm-hmm.
Because at this point we don't really recognize the difference between having a thought and having to act on that thought. So if I think, boy, you're being difficult, then I have to take that to heart and I've got to deal with this difficult person. I don't see that that's just my perception of you in this moment.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens sometimes at this level is people find themselves in prison because they haven't recognized the difference between having a criminal thought and committing a criminal act.
Mm-hmm.
So now, again, I'm going to guess that you're kind of at some levels above that because if you didn't have a greater degree of understanding of the role of thought in creating your experience, you probably wouldn't be able to be having this conversation with me.
God, I hope so.
So probably if I said to you, you know, there are aliens controlling your mind and that is the reason you are having difficulty.
Mm-hmm.
You would probably think I'm nuts, right? You know, in the kindest, most compassionate kind of way.
Yes.
Okay. And but there are still things right now even as we're moving up the elevator, that you'll go, well, but no, I see that all that's thinking. I see the whole aliens thing was just a thought, and the whole criminal thing was just a thought. But this isn't my thinking. What my mom's saying isn't my thinking. That's real.
Mm-hmm.
So here's what I'd like you to if you're up for this, I just stay open to the possibility that even whatever's feeling like the hardest bit of this situation, as we move up this elevator of understanding, it's not going to look the same anymore. Like, I don't know if you've ever heard me, I don't know how often you listen to the show, but if you've ever heard me use the example of a kid who draws a picture of a monster, mm-hmm. and then runs out of the room screaming.
Yes.
It's like that. When we don't notice that we're the ones who drew the monster, that we're the ones thinking, we have no choice but to react to the picture.
So how do I move up the elevator?
Well, sometimes people move up the elevator just when they see a little bit of the view. So let's talk about some of the higher floors.
Okay.
Okay, so another floor up from don't look at me in that tone of voice is people who think like me are good and people who don't think like me are bad. Right? And we all have a little bit of that, right? If especially if we listen to talk radio.
Yeah.
you know, anyone with different social, political, religious beliefs to me is, you know, at best an idiot, and at worst they're deliberately spreading evil.
Mm-hmm.
But if we go up a level from that, we get a little subtle. We go, people who think like me are right. People who don't think like me are wrong. So now we're not kind of attaching the value judgment to it. We can see, well, you know what? She's not bad to think like that. She's just wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, remember, we think we're dealing with a person, but we're dealing with our thoughts. Because if I can only see that person as I've created them in my thoughts. And if I've created them as somebody who is deliberately out to hurt me, I'm going to deal with them in one way. If I've created them as a bad person, I'm going to deal with them in one way. If I've created them as someone who's misguided, I'm going to deal with them in another way. And the problem is, the nature of thought is that whatever the thinker thinks, the prover proves. So it's not like we can actually, like if you gave me evidence, I bet you could give me all sorts of evidence that your perception of your mom, let's say, and I get she's not, I'm not trying to put this all on your mom, but we were talking about her. So, you know, that she really is trying to stop you and that it really is a problem, right? You could give me evidence for that.
Yes.
But the problem is the way the mind works is we always collect evidence for however we see things. So if you saw it differently, you'd be able to give me evidence for that too.
Yeah.
So let's go up a floor. Okay. Let's go up another floor. Now this is the floor that I talk about in Supercoach. The world is what you think it is. So instead of trying to explain why we think what we think about the world by looking for evidence, it's like, well, I think this because of that. I think this because of what they said. I think this because of what they've done. We recognize that the nature of thought is creative.
Mm-hmm.
So however I think it, that's how it's going to appear to me. And the reason that what we think seems so real to us isn't that we're nuts or we're misguided, or it's just that's how thought works. So we don't experience money. We experience our thinking about money. We don't experience our parents. We experience our thinking about our parents. We don't experience the world. We experience our thinking about the world.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what that opens up is the possibility that it really can change just like that. Because if it's just a thought, well, in any moment, a new thought could come in and I could see it differently.
Right. Which is why I called you.
Yeah. Well, and hopefully we're creating some context for new thought here.
Yes.
You know, that's all I'm trying to do is just create the possibility that you can have some pretty dramatic changes in your world and your relationships just the more clearly you understand how thought works.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, if we're going to get now this next floor, I have to say the next floor I'm going to describe, I've never really been there. Okay. But I hear it's lovely because it's the floor that the masters, the enlightened ones talk about, that we all live in a formless world of spirit and that this world of form is just an illusion.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Now, of course, if you start saying that or I start saying that, any Zen master worth their salt's going to hit us in the head with a stick.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, we don't really get it. We just know how to parrot it. But if you do get a glimpse of that sixth door, even for a moment, chances are that you'll experience life very differently after that moment. And that's the level of the miraculous. That's the level of situations transforming that just defy rational explanation. That's the level where you have an insight that just redefines the way that you see things.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how to get to that floor, like particularly. It's like, oh, try this technique. But just knowing that it's there and that I'm not on it makes it easier for me to see that the way I see things from the floor that I'm on isn't quite as solid as I thought.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been rambling here. Let me ask you what you're hearing, and then let's take it from there.
Well, I hope I'm correct in this. It sounds like when you're saying thought, it could be used interchangeably with belief. Is that true?
Sure. Belief is one of the ways that we describe thoughts that really, really, really seem real to us.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like you're saying that if I look at it in a different way, I won't feel the need to be so mired in what I'm feeling right now.
Well, let's play with that a little bit. That's interesting. So, sort of. What I'm saying is, if you see where the feelings that you're mired in are coming from,
mm-hmm.
that they're not coming from your situation and they're not coming from your mom, they're coming from your thinking.
Exactly.
Then that opens up the possibility that instead of trying to change your situation or change your mom's mind, you can just take a look at your thinking and open up a space for it to change. Because when your thinking changes, the whole situation is going to look different. You're going to feel different. And it's going to be that much easier to pick up the phone and book your plane ticket.
Right. Yes, that's what I'm looking for is a new perspective.
And so so beautiful. We've made the shift that I was hoping we'd get the chance to make in this call, and that's all I want to do in this call. Okay, so we've made the shift from you looking for more personal power. You aren't tapping an iota of the power that's available to you. Forget personal power. You got the power of the whole universe. You've got the power of thought. So you don't need more personal power, but it does sound like you'd really benefit from a new perspective.
Right.
And
I agree.
If you look in that direction, instead of, okay, how can I get tougher to deal with these real problems that I've got? Into how can I see clearer with less contamination of my own thinking? You'll get that new sight, that new insight, a heck of a lot quicker. Does that make sense?
Totally.
Beautiful.
Yes, I knew you would help me. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you very much, Jennifer.
All right. Have a good one.
You too. And you know, that's the only problem is a lot of the time, it's not there's a problem with us or we're not good enough or we're not smart enough or we're not enlightened enough. The problem is we're looking in the wrong direction. Like I can look out my window all day long and I will never see the Eiffel Tower. It's just not going to happen. And it's not because there's something wrong with me. It's because the Eiffel Tower isn't out there. It's over the other way. And when we think we know what the problem is and we're battling and we're struggling to overcome the problem, chances are it's because we're looking in the wrong direction. And what we've defined the problem as isn't the real problem. And when we open up to seeing the problem differently, seeing what we thought was the problem differently, we often find there's no problem. There might be something to do, but there's no problem. Let's go to Shreveport, Louisiana and talk to Jenya. Jenya, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
Oh, hi, Michael. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
My question was, how can we use the knowledge of past negative experiences in a positive way in the present?
Okay, so how can we use, and forgive me, the line's a little soft, so I'm going to say this back and you tell me if I heard you correctly.
Uh-huh.
How do we deal with our negative experiences in a positive way?
Yeah, like how do we take it in the present and future in the positive way?
Oh, that's an interesting question, because as I hear it, it would never occur to me to try to do that. So let me see if I can get on the same page with you. It's like, for me, a negative experience is it's something happened that I didn't like.
Right.
And that's it. It's done. Right. If it still feels like a problem, that's now not about my experience. That's about my thinking.
Yes, but if it's still in your mind and you trying to deal with it and, you know, trying to move forward, but it's still in your mind.
Right. Oh, this is great, Jenya. I'm glad you brought this up. Sorry if I sound excited about your problem. I don't mean to, but this is such a great point. It can't still be in your mind. Like, whatever it is that happened, and I'm sorry that you had to go through whatever it was, but whatever it was, it's gone now. What might be in your mind is some thinking about it. Mm-hmm. And that's beautiful news, because if it could still be in your mind, you really would have to do something about it.
Right.
But the nature of thought is, thought changes all the time. Like, when we let go, when we stop, you know, holding on to a thought and ruminating on it and running it over and over and over and over again, it just disappears. It's not like a chair. Like if I leave a chair on the floor and turn off the lights and leave, when I come back into the room, I'll trip over the chair.
Right.
But if I leave a thought in the room and turn off the lights and leave, when I come back, that thought's not still going to be there. So let me see if I can rephrase the question, and you tell me, and I want you to be really honest with me. Tell me if this question is still accurate.
Okay.
If I've got some really crappy thinking going on that's making me feel horrible,
mm-hmm.
how can I do less of that?
Right.
Would that be a fair way of saying the same thing?
Yeah, it's a fair way of rephrasing. Yeah.
Okay, great, because that's much easier. Can you hear how that's easier?
Yes, I do.
And really, it's one of those funny ones where it's like, how do you I don't know if I ever shared the story on air, but I had a client once who told me about a dream he had where Saddam Hussein was having sex with his friend's girlfriend. And it was like, what am I going to do about it? and I was just laughing, because I was like, well, there's kind of nothing to do about it, because it's not real.
Right.
It just seems real. And it's the same thing that I would say to you, is there's nothing you really kind of have to do about it, because it's just a thought.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it doesn't seem that way sometimes. And it doesn't seem that way probably, and this is just me guessing based on my experience, it doesn't seem that way because it feels so bad.
Mm-hmm.
Would that be fair?
Yeah.
So if you understand, and again, I'm not saying you should understand or you have to understand, but if you can start to see that it's not just that thought, we feel all our thoughts. And when we have nicer thoughts, we feel nicer. It's just the way thought works. Then what you will probably find is that at some point in the next couple of days, the next couple of weeks, I don't know when, you just won't be thinking about it. And when you're not thinking about it, it's fine. And if that thought does come back and you see it for what it is, it's not the experience came back, it's just another thought, then it won't hit you in the same way that it has up until now. So thank you very much for calling, Jenny. I hope that was useful. We've come to the end of another show. If you enjoy what we do, again, visit us online, supercoach.com. Check me out at Twitter, Michael_Neil. Thanks to Joe and Steve in the studio. Until next time, have fun, learn heaps, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye for now.